Hello, FIFA fans around the world. Welcome back to episode number 4. We're recording this on Monday, April 5th. I'm your host, Tyler.
And I'm your host, Andrew. Welcome to your weekly foot fix. To get things started, Tyler, what are you drinking?
Tonight, I have an Ecliptic Brewing Hazy IPA. Ecliptic Brewing is from Portland, Oregon. So I'm keeping on my fashionable trend of drinking hazy IPAs. And this one, the Phaser, promises to be very good. So we'll see how it goes. How about yourself? What are you drinking?
I am drinking, well, we should say we are recording this for a second time. We recorded it last night. Last night I was drinking a gin and tonic. Tonight I am drinking a kind of a homemade cocktail of vodka, lemon juice, and simple syrup. Not sure if it has a name, but pretty good.
Okay, sounds good. Still Costco liquor?
Still, we did buy this at Costco, but it's actually a DC local vodka. So it's called Civic.
Civic.
So look at that. I'm now getting on the trend of buying local.
Well, cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
And one other thing we wanted to mention is an apology for the audio quality that came out on the initial version of episode 3. We had a little bit of some mic problems. Andrew got a new mic, and we just, between my microphone and his microphone, we had them set on different settings, which led to pretty much everyone being able to hear me and not being able to hear Andrew on that recording. Andrew was able to do some tech work on the back end and actually correct it. So we released that episode a second time. So apologies if you were in the group that heard it first with kind of unequal volumes between your two hosts, or if you heard it afterwards, sorry, because you probably got it twice in your feed. But we're learning and appreciate your patience as we grow in this process, but look for better quality from us going forward.
Yeah, agreed. We are definitely learning. We are very much amateurs with basically no idea what we were doing until we decided a month ago to start doing this. So please bear with us. I promise a month from now, we will be much better than we are today. We did get a question. Usually we do our questions at the end, but we have a question about our drinking. So I wanted to get into that now. And it's from our friend Old Man FIFA. And he asks a very simple question: stout or porter?
It's a great question. Thank you, Old Man FIFA. I unfortunately am going to say neither. I'm obviously a beer drinker, big fan of IPAs, but for whatever reason, the darker varietals have never really appealed to me very much. I generally do drink a lot of things on the spectrum of alcohol options that are out there, but you just picked between two that I don't really find attractive. So really sorry, but I guess that leaves more for you. And how about you, Andrew? What do you think?
So as some of you may have guessed, now that I'm 4 weeks in and haven't had a single beer, I actually don't drink beer. Not because of an allergy or anything like that. I actually just have never liked it. I went to the University of Georgia, so you would think everyone kind of assumes, oh, must be a big beer drinker, big party school, that type of stuff. Just never been for me. I promise that all of my friends from college have tried their best to get me to try basically every beer in the country, in the world, maybe. I've tried almost all of them. And so I don't drink beer. I do have an answer to this question because I do have preferred beers that I dislike. And that, for me, it's a stout. Oatmeal stouts or espresso stouts, I can somewhat stomach. I do not like them. Let me be very clear. I do not like beer, but for me, it'd be a stout over porters are just not drinkable at all for me.
Andrew, I feel like your dislike for beer is really ruining my chances and my dream of getting a brewing company here in Oregon to sponsor us for this podcast. So I may have to edit all of this out because you're really, really going to hurt those opportunities for us.
Well, I don't think they can ship them across the country anyway, so we can hopefully get a beer sponsor. I will happily go to a brewery in Oregon once we're all vaccinated and everything and hang out and maybe do a live podcast event. But yeah, no beer drinking for me, just more for everybody else.
Okay, well, that's a compromise I can live with. I'll take it. Also this week, I mean, we had Foot Birthday continued. Team 2 came out. Andrew, what are your thoughts over the last week with the new content, with gameplay, objectives? How have you been feeling about Foot lately?
I've been really happy with the content lately. You know, I think over the last couple of years, the content has been really good. They've been churning out. Now this year, it seems like basically guaranteed to have a daily SBC of some variety. Lots of new content all the time, almost weekly promos. It's, I think, a rarity when we have a week that doesn't have a promo. Obviously, they're turning out tons and tons of objectives. So that is all great. I think we have a number of objectives to talk about right now. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. You know, this week I played probably the most FIFA I've played this year, and yet I did not play a single Rivals or online match that counted. I played some squad battles only to get my icon swaps. So I did some silver Brazilian combination, and then I did, what did I do else? Argentina players. I think I did just regular gold Argentina players to get enough tokens to get the swaps. And other than that, I just played Managerial Masterpiece and released the keepers. That's so awesome. We'll get into that more, certainly. But what about you? How was your week? How'd your weekend league go?
Weekend league, time was definitely an issue. Focus was definitely an issue. I only played to 8 wins. I'm not even sure if my record, I had a lot of losses. I had actually started a little bit of playing on Xbox as well. I'm a PS5 is my main console. It's, so I think by switching over to Xbox and starting with a basically starter squad and trying to grind that out, and then switching over back to PlayStation to play in both weekend league and doing some objectives for the new weekend content release, my gameplay certainly wasn't at its finest. But all that said, that was all fine for me because I'm not too bothered about, you know, trying to have the greatest performance in any given weekend. I did play the Mandanda objective immediately on its release. I actually took Friday off of work and was very excited, like, hey, this is something new and something unique to get into. And so I immediately put together my goalkeeper squad. I was very excited to finally get some use out of my Moments Schmeichel, the SBC that I did that I amazingly or really horrifically regret doing, because I think he's terrible and he doesn't know how to dive to make a save to save his life. But he's pretty good as a cam. So if anyone out there still has to complete this objective, I would recommend using him. His passing was pretty decent. And yeah, did you do the Mandanda objective?
I did. I think there's a couple of things we want to talk about because I did it a little later than you, although I did finish it by Saturday, maybe even Friday night. There are a few things to talk about. Although on Schmeichel, one thing, I'm not sure if you noticed, if you go into the game, you can actually see the, once you're actually playing the game, you can see the underlying regular stats as of these players as outfield players. And Schmeichel is like 3 times better than a lot of the goalkeepers. Not because he's good. His passing just is 28 instead of 7. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He felt so much better than all the other guys.
Because he is. I think that's the key. So I'm sure if you have other icons, I bet they're also juiced. And there's probably a couple hidden gems somewhere. Where like a 75 rated random keeper from, I don't know, Yugoslavia is just fantastic. But there were 2 things I did want to talk about the goalkeeper objective. The first, I think we both love the idea of this, you know, the gimmick, doing something that's just completely different, something you would never do, never think about doing, except to complete this objective. And it was relatively simple. You said you completed it basically immediately. So did I. The first thing, the friendly, what do we call it? The friendly room, I guess, didn't have a restriction on the teams you could come in there with. So even though the objective required you to use 11 keepers and 11 or 7 guys on your bench who are all keepers, the room itself didn't prevent you. And that was strange because I think you probably got in too soon to see some of this, but I saw it 3 or 4 times, I think, of just people using full out squads. And the first time it happened to me, I was like, oh, I must be in the wrong room. I must have clicked on just generic friendly or even managerial masterpiece, and this guy just built an amazingly like jack squad somehow. But no, it was the actual goalkeeper objective room allowed you to use whatever squad you wanted. And it seems like based on my Twitter feed that a lot of people ran into this, and it seemed to be some type of scummy problem that folks are running into. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. EA should have put a restriction on the room. It seems insane to me that they didn't force everyone to use only goalkeepers in their starting lineup and on their bench, because that's what was required to actually unlock the objective. They certainly should have foreseen that people would recognize that wasn't a requirement and then would either misread the objective requirements and unknowingly sub on a real player when they thought maybe they only had to have 11 goalkeepers in their starting lineup, and then probably ruin it for both players, because once you sub on a real player, you're almost certainly going to win. And but you don't get any credit for it. Your opponent doesn't get any credit for it. So that, I think, is really dumb on EA's part. And then I have to imagine there were people that saw this as an opportunity to try to make a lot of progress on the 300 friendlies wins milestone objective of, oh, wow, I can really destroy people and make them rage quit if I go in and score with my Mbappe versus their goalkeeper squad. People might think that they can start racking up wins very quickly. I think that may be true, but it also, like, people that only need one goal with their goalkeeper team to actually like get by. So I wouldn't even be surprised if a lot of people didn't even quit when they ran into that. And honestly, if you're really trying to rush through to get your 300 friendlies wins, the best path forward is to just play Golden Goal in a mode that is Golden Goal. And whether that's actually using like your goalkeeper squad or in the regular icon swaps objectives, I don't really see why that would totally be the best path forward. So I actually think this might have just been a bunch of kids who wanted to be assholes and be toxic in the community, which is exactly why I think EA should have thought of it to prevent it, because they claim to be trying to remove toxicity from the game. And this is a signal to me of somewhere where they missed the mark on that. And I think they kind of have to hold themselves accountable to that.
I definitely agree they missed the mark. I think there's been so many fuck ups at EA that to me, I just assume this is the 1,100th of these, right? Like, I assume someone was supposed to do this and they just didn't. The same person who makes all the other glitches, they're supposed to limit this room, and they stupidly thought that, oh, we've got the objective and like that must just automatically flow through or whatever happened. I think this was just something that happened internally. I don't think it was intentionally supposed to be unlocked.
Yeah, completely. And what I would hope is, I do want to applaud the fact that they're at least putting new modes out there, new types of objectives, instead of everything flowing through managerial masterpiece. I do appreciate the variety. I just also hope that in the future, as they create more variety, they figure out how to make the mode work properly with the right types of requirements to make the game fun and equal across the playing field. So I'm hopeful that they'll do that. Yeah, they definitely could.
Because icon swaps, right? They create new rooms all the time with these limits. So they know how to. I think someone just screwed up here.
Yeah.
The other thing I did want to mention quickly is, if you're forcing us to use goalkeepers, please make it max chemistry. You have that as an option in friendlies. I don't need to be using keepers on 1 or 4 chemistry, but they're already bad enough playing them at striker. And I know, I hope that going forward, we sometime get a all defenders match, including having to use a defender in goal, all midfielders, all attackers. Same thing though. I want max chemistry, because it's not, there is a max chemistry mode in this game. Like, there's an option in friendlies to have max chemistry. This is the number one example of a reason to do that. So come on, EA, do that too, please.
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that. I think I was just excited about there being something different that I didn't care too much. And there's part of me that's like, how much better is a 10 chem goalkeeper really going to feel than a one or two Kim goalkeeper playing striker and wings. You know, it's the whole thing is going to be a mess. The passes were all over the place. Like, it was totally a clusterfuck of an experience, but there was a lot of humor in that, of just things not working at all as you expected them to do. And maybe that's my level of play. I'm not a world's elite player. And I'm sure there's some people out there that were able to just dominate with their full goalkeeper teams. But for me, that was part of the enjoyment. I will say, after probably two or three games, the novelty does start to wear off. And you're like, okay, I just want to get this done. And I'm ready for this to move on. And I scored first so frequently, and almost never did my opponent, you know, quit and play golden goal. And so I just started putting the controller down and walking away. And I'm sure, you know, they would end up getting their wins and more goals, but who cares? Like, I was just over it after the first few games. All that said, I think this is probably the fastest 88 that I've ever unlocked in a FIFA game. So I'll give him credit for creating pretty easy fodder to obtain.
Agreed. I think it's great. I would like more of these in the future, just more random objectives like this in the future. I am going to use Mandanda in my squad, I think. I am hoping, at least. I think everyone's been waiting for a good French keeper. I'm hoping that's it. We'll see. Tyler, I think you have used him. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I used him for my first couple of games of Weekend League. And by virtue of saying that that's all he lasted, I think that tells you how I felt about him. He wasn't for me. He does at least know how to dive. So he's not like Schmeichel, where he just stands there and watches the ball go by him. So he puts in a little effort. But I still kept my informed Pope. And I was like, what am I trying to prove here by using Mandanda? Let me just put in Pope and just not have to think about my goalkeeper anymore. So that was my preference. That's what I opted for. I haven't put Mandanda into an SBC yet. So maybe I'll give him another go down the road. And just see kind of where my squad evolves over time and if I end up trying to do any kind of theme or whatnot. So we'll see. Steve may get another chance.
Fair enough. I will remind me in a couple of weeks and I will update you how I feel about him, because I do plan on using him going forward unless we somehow get in the next week's promo a great, I don't know, a flashback Lloris or something like that. I plan on using Steve a bit and just seeing how he does.
How do you feel about the other objectives? We had the Scott Dan or Steve Dan, oh, Scott Dan, I think, Silver Star objective, the Chowdhury, Leicester, CDM. There's the Brazilian Silvers. Have you worked on any of those?
I've worked on most of them. So Silvers, I actually haven't finished Dan yet because I can't find a match on Xbox. I got 2 wins and like 7 goals. And then I have twice tried to log into Silver Lounge and it just wouldn't find me a match. And that's, I don't crazy. Know what happened. Obviously, there's a smaller user base. I don't know what's going on, but I have not been able to find a match to complete him. My one thought on that, I've mentioned this, maybe I've mentioned it before, maybe I just complained about it on Twitter. I wish all these cards counted as the Team of the Week cards everyone were getting for free for Silver Beasts and the start 7 of them in your squad. So what good does it give me that he's listed as a foot birthday as opposed to the Team of the Week? I mean, it's cool, whatever, but just a minor little tweak there. It would be nice if all these special cards I was earning helped me towards those objectives I liked. More exciting for me is to talk about the Brazilian Silvers. I completed that basically when it came out. Those cards are amazing. I am actually considering whether some of them should become super subs on my team.
Wow, that's awesome. I haven't done that one yet.
They are exactly how you would think they would be. 5-star little jitterbugs who very agile, good balance, very fast, good acceleration. I use them to complete the Brazilian and silver icon swaps at the same time, and they were just fantastic. It was basically how I completed everything, was move them up, all 3 of them up top as like a triangle, and just scored as many goals as possible, get to your 5 and then glitch out. But I think that's worth doing. I've also started the Chudberry one. One thought on him that I realized last night, Ian Wright's loan card is still, you know, there is still an icon SBC to go get his loan, and you need 13 or 14 goals, separate games with goals from English players. And obviously having a 90 rated English striker is helpful. I haven't scored with him yet because I've only played a couple of matches with him since realizing this. But if you're looking to do this, I think that's a good way to boost your squad and get a good English striker in there.
Definitely a good tip. I have only done Mandanda. I haven't gone into any of these. I definitely will go unlock the Brazilian silvers. But my actual base silver team, I already love, and the Dan card doesn't fit the existing squad. So I don't really see any reason for me to go do that one. I know it's only three games, but I also already finished the silver milestone objective where you have to win something like 300 games or play 300 games with the silver team. And I'm that much of an addict that I've already played all those games.
Tell everyone how you did that, because it's a brilliant way you've done it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I work from home, so I'm fortunate enough that my PlayStation is actually right next to my work setup. And so generally what I'll do is turn on the PlayStation, go into a game of beginner squad battles, score just one goal. I don't even bother to get the five to get max points, and then just set the controller down and then turn off the monitor and go back to work. And then the next time I have some kind of break in my work day, I turn on the monitor and it'll be at halftime, and I'll skip forward through halftime, kick off, and then let the game run again and turn off the monitor. And so then it's not really a distraction for me as I do my work. And over the course of a week, I'll easily get 10 to 15 games done just by virtue of doing that. And the benefit is I was never going to play all of those squad battles games during the week anyway. And so I not only now get extra squad battles points that I previously hadn't been eligible for, but then I also eventually earned myself into completing that entire silver milestone objective. So if you find yourself with a bunch of free time around the house, but you don't feel like actively playing, that's kind of a passive way to make some pretty significant progress to getting some good packs. So I would recommend it. I personally didn't pack anything amazing from those, but I do think in the grand scheme of things, the more and more packs you give yourself a chance to open, eventually you'll build up enough fodder to go get a great card that you can add to your squad. So for me, it wasn't that much effort to unlock all of that.
Yeah, I think this is excellent advice. I am actually slowly doing that myself. It's obviously very easy on beginner to rack up some squad battle rewards. I assume most people aren't playing their 40 matches a week, so very good thing to do. You mentioned adding good players to your squad. We got a whole number of SBCs. I think that's the highlight of Foot Birthday, has been the daily SBCs that we are getting.
Yeah, it has been very exciting. And so one of the very first ones that came out was the Foot Birthday Arturo Vidal card. And I just saw that and I saw the stats and my eyes just like jumped out. I was like, how much is this card? What is he going for? It's like around 500K. We were just on the tail end of having all these 81 plus player picks where I stacked my whole club up with all kinds of great fodder. I was like, I got to get in on this card. And I was like, okay, let me wait for some YouTuber reviews. And I watched probably three guys. They all loved him. And I just had all these great nostalgia feelings in past FIFAs. Vidal has almost always gotten a special card of some level that has been pretty beastly in game. And I've always really loved having a CDM that can shoot. And he just has always really been that for me. And when I saw, okay, this guy's got pretty good pace, excellent defending stats, and if you slap a hunter on him, he definitely is going to have an attacking threat component to him. So I pretty quickly talked myself into it. So I did Vidal, very excited, figured out how to rework my squad, position changed all my players to like fit him in and icon block him up at my striker. And then probably not like 48 hours later, the leaks started coming out about Renato Sanchez, who probably 2 years ago was like my favorite FIFA card ever in game, who was kind of just the CDM that I was also talking about, of being able to both be a great defender and be a great attacker. The Renato Sanchez I've used this year, I used one of the one of the specials, not the Road to the Final, but his other special version. And I was like, okay, this guy's an awesome card. Really love him. But I just did Vidal. Like, now what am I going to do? Like, and I was really
reminder last week, Tyler said he is the kid who couldn't wait to open his Christmas presents.
Yeah, exactly. I have no self-control. And, you know, Vidal still available, even while Renato's available. I could have waited, could have been patient. And the real kicker for me with Renato is that I'm not a great skiller. And so Vidal's five-star skills aren't really an attractive component to me. And what I really wished he had had was four-star skills and five-star weak foot. And then sure enough, that's the exact setup that Renato Sanchez had. And Renato has now been out for a couple of days. And just this morning, our friend Richard tweeted to us that he had just completed Renato. You had mentioned that Mike LaBelle had put out some tweets talking about how great Renato is. Everyone out there loves
Renato. Yeah, it was a video. You guys should watch it. It convinced me.
And so ultimately I decided, you know what? I have about 650K worth of SBC fodder. Why don't I use it on Renato Sanchez and spend about 80K of coins that I have in my team and go ahead and unlock him too. And that's what I did. So I now have both of those great new CDMs in my team. One of them, Renato's now replacing my inform Conte, who I have untradeable. I honestly thought Conte was fantastic, and I never felt like I lost a game because I was using Conte. He certainly doesn't pose much of an attacking threat, but I kind of prefer one of my CDMs to stay back and play that more defensive role. And so I feel like this is probably a waste, but I just couldn't contain myself. And again, the nostalgia factor really led for, you know, this game is meant to be fun, and God damn it, I'm going to go enjoy it. So that's what I did.
Yeah, I think when we recorded this 24 hours ago, originally, I was on the fence and maybe wasn't going to do Renato. And then the reviews came out on YouTube and Twitter, and it's just glowing reports about this card. I mean, his stats are amazing generally. And then the people using them, it is universal praise. Just, this is an in-game card, and it's going to be just as good as Team of the Season cards. And you said you had 600,000 in fodder. Apparently, I have way more than that, because I did him this afternoon without breaking a sweat, with barely breaking into my stash of untradeable cards. I had a ton of duplicates because I just did the 83 times 25 pack, and I have now opened 683 plus double upgrades. We will talk about that in 1 minute, I believe. So I completed Renato just this afternoon. I'm very excited. Just looking at his stats, that looks like an in-game card. I think I had been previously disappointed by the SBCs, not because these weren't good cards and they weren't the right value or right price cards for, you know, the first week of April, but they aren't the right cards for the first week of May when Team of Season's out. I think Sanchez is that type of player, so that's why I did him in. I'm essentially running, or will be running, an almost full league on squad, so that also kind of swayed me to complete him.
Yeah, he's a great card. And as you look to the actual players that came out in week two of the Foot Birthday squad, how do you feel about the squad that's there? Are there any players that stand out to you? You just mentioned that you've done some 83 plus SBCs. You also told us you unlocked your icon swaps, which I believe you told us last week you were going to use on one of those 83, 25 packs or one of those. Have you packed anything over the past week?
What a great setup, because you know the answer. So to start with, I'm really ecstatic about this second squad. I think it is significantly better than the first one, which is why I went ahead and completed the icon swaps, which is why I've done a handful of the 83 plus double upgrades, because there are so many players in this that I want to pack, that I want to use. For me, the starter is a tall. I think he's just a juiced card. He looks amazing. He's basically the perfect right mid in a three at the back system, where you could easily put him almost anywhere on the pitch, I think. And I think he'd be dominant. So that's another kind of end game. I'm sure he's going to be great even through team of the season with that five-star. We'll talk about some more of the cards we're interested in, but I have packed 2 foot birthday cards. So in the 83x25 pack, I was a little disappointed because I didn't get anything better than an 86 rated, but hidden in that pack was an 85 rated Gunther. Is he the most disappointing card in this pack and in the squad? Is he the one you wouldn't want to pack? Of course, right? He's the lowest rated. He's not that great, but I think he's going to be a pretty good super sub for me. Maybe not super sub, but a good sub in a game where I need to close it out with his 95 speed. I think he has 99 acceleration even, or 99. He has 99 sprint speed and 89 acceleration. That's a good card. And then yesterday when the 83 double upgrades came out, I did 3. I got nothing. I think I had 3 83s, 2 84s, and 85 using all my fodder. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for one more. Get the blue flare, Spanish, striker, Wolves. I packed freaking Adama. He is the most expensive player I could have gotten in that double upgrade since icons aren't in these packs, apparently. Another frustration that we'll probably talk about every week as long as I have these upgrade packs because it drives me batty. But I packed freaking Adama.
I mean, that's amazing. This card is like outstanding. That card, people probably still use his gold card as a super sub at this stage of the game. And you just packed the elite version of him, 5-star skills, 4-star weak foot. Andrew, how have you realigned your lineup to fit him in as your starting striker?
I have realigned my lineup by taking Renier off my bench and replacing him with Adama. I did say I'm not playing rivals right now, so maybe that will change. And I wasn't going to go for the Chewedberry card, and I decided to start going for it specifically so I could just play with Adama some, because it has Premier League starter and goal requirements. So I was just going to screw around with it. You mentioned people use him, the gold card on his bench. I'm sure you've seen it in almost every managerial masterpiece. He is starting for people. If there's no requirement for like 11 of a certain league, Adama is in almost everyone's squad. So I have now played with him, I think 5 games or so. He's really good. Shocker, right? Shocker, I have 1.5 million coin card with those stats. He is phenomenal. I don't know how I'm going to fit him into my squad. He might still end up being a super sub, but man, he's the type of super sub. He's going to stay for the whole year, right? Like, he's not going to have a team this season, or if he does, it won't be the level of card that he has now with the 5-star skills and 4-star weak foot.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine like naming a potential card to be a better super sub than this Fut Birthday Adama. I feel like almost every player would probably benefit from having that type of card on their bench, but almost every player would probably try to get him in their starting lineup. Although you mentioned you're running a lot of Ligons as your team, so that may be more of a challenge.
That's part of the challenge, and I do have Henri as my striker right now, so it's a little bit of a struggle. We'll see. I mean, La Liga is generally a team of the season that comes out early. And so if I get in my guaranteed La Liga pack some great Spanish player, you know, there's a ton of them out there. Maybe that'll cause me to change some things up too. Either way, I'm really excited for this card.
And so you mentioned you got Adama. You really like the looks of Atal. Is there anyone else kind of in the squad that's a standout for you? Anyone you're keen to try?
Yeah, well, first off, I think this whole squad I would be interested in trying and packing. That's the crazy thing. Even someone like Gunther, I'm like, I'm happy to pack him. So I'm a little disappointed that we've gotten a couple of party bags that weren't just guaranteed foot birthday party bags, because they could have made that 400K and I probably would have tried it. Tomori, the center back from Milan, he looks like he has very good stats. We have both talked about our Todibo. I don't know how to say his name. Who knows? We're not French. We love that card, though. He has lower agility, lower speed than Tomori, but he is a big center back and kind of similar stats, but I think this Tomori is better. So if I packed him, I would be really happy about that. I think I've got a whole, I could go through all of these cards and talk about them. I think everyone can look at their stats, but Tyler, what about you? Who are some cards you are interested in?
Yeah, I actually agree on Atal. He's the first card that I would really want to add into my squad. I also have quite a few league players and a couple of icons, and it would be easy to just link him in right now. And I play mostly a 3-5-2, and I would do exactly as you said. I'd probably be playing him as my right mid, but I would try him all over the pitch just as other players got fatigued and want to move things around and try different setups. I think he could play a lot of different positions. So he's currently extinct still on PlayStation, or at least was as of a few hours ago. They still have not updated his price range. I was using the What If Diada card, which I bought on Saturday and used throughout Weekend League, who's also a right mid position from the French League. And that card is amazing. I bought before they played their game. They scored their goal, so he's going to get upgraded to an 87. And now that we're recording this on Monday, his price has skyrocketed up about 50K from when I bought him at. So I went ahead and sold ahead of the upgrade, thinking that the combination of people maybe overinvesting before the upgrade happens and the likelihood that Atal's price range gets adjusted and people start actually selling that card on the market made me a little reluctant to hang on to Diata. But if I find myself in a situation where I can't afford Atal, I certainly would probably go back and look Diata's way, because he's a really great card, really fun to use, just insane pace, but also a very good finisher and someone that I really liked. I just think Atal would be a little more versatile and probably offer me quite a bit more defensively. And so for that reason, I want to go after that Atal as someone who immediately would fit into my starting squad. Almost everyone else, I think for me, probably veers into super sub potential, but almost all of the other cards that are in this team, I think would become my primary super sub. Like, they all look amazing, outstanding. I think they're right at the top of the power curve right now for where we stand in game. And there's probably only a handful of moment icons that eclipse where these cards are right now, and maybe some team of the year cards that eclipse where these birthday cards are. So I think I'd be super excited if I got any of them and any kind of untradeable rewards. But if they were tradable, I would probably end up selling them, with the exception of Atal, who I really want to add as a starter. But I think great content by EA. I'm really happy with this squad overall. And yeah, it's really too bad that the party bag wasn't just restricted to FUT birthday cards. I'm with you. I would have spent a lot of coins to be able to complete that, because it would have been fun. And party bag just feels like it's been such a letdown. I've probably completed across a couple of accounts, I bet I've completed 10 over the past two cycles of FIFA. And almost all of those 10 pulls have led to disappointment. So it's something that I just feel like I'm kind of burned out on and don't see myself completing any further.
Last year I had some good pulls, but this year I have not, as they have seem to really combine the party bags to be mostly the cards you don't want to get. So I did the one last week and got Taison, and I'm not doing the new one because just a waste of coins. I was counting while you mentioned that all these cards would probably be at a minimum super subs. There are currently four of these guys are Hullet Gang, which is all 80 face stats. It's Modric, Poligno, Khan, and Atal. And then Awar is 5 off defensively of Hullet Gang, and he's got three of his 6 face stats are 90 plus. So he's also an incredibly juiced card. So these are the type of upgrades I think we've been waiting on. And yeah, I'm really excited. I've been happy with this promo. I'm excited to see what we're going to get left. I think we have one day left of promos left. It's going to be a Dutch SBC. Any thoughts of who we might be getting? I think there's some leaks out there, but it's unclear, because I think I've seen conflicting leaks.
Oh, drama. I have actually stayed off of Twitter for most of the day, so I have avoided seeing any news of who it might be. So this will be more fun as speculation. The card who I think would be probably the coolest for squad building, because I really loved his gold card is Frankie de Jong, the Barcelona center mid. I think he, given these kind of birthday stat upgrades, would be just awesome in a game and highly desirable. However, since I just did the Vidal and Renato Sanchez SBC, there is virtually no way that I would personally go complete that SBC, but I would be happy for any of our listeners who are able to add him to their team and make an elite squad out of it. But that's one I would certainly stay away from. I think the only Dutch player that might tempt me at a good price would be Memphis Depay with a 5-star weak foot. He already has 5-star skills, so that would be instantly very tempting. He's always been a very strong player in game, obviously has great skills, but to also boost his weak foot would be super tempting to me. De Ligt is somebody else who I've heard a lot of people talk about. I don't see myself completing that. Don't really have a need to go for Serie A defense at all. And those are kind of the first ones that come to mind for me. How about you? Maybe you can shed a little light on the leaks. And by the time our listeners hear that this podcast, the SBC may be out. So they'll find out where the truth lay.
So I think it's supposed to be Saint Juste.
Oh. The center back
from the Bundesliga. That's what I've been hearing. Conflicting though, you mentioned De Jong. I think I've seen over Twitter De Jong, De Ligt, and Depay, but I think all of them seem to be more speculation than leaks, and it seems to be pretty strongly leaning toward Saint Juste. So if you guys remember last year, he had a very juiced up, it must have been a foot birthday card, and it was very fun to use. He's a very fast, very big, strong center back in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, I can see that. They're actually, so I know we got the Marco Reus SBC, but I do feel like of the major leagues, the Bundesliga seemed to get the least amount of content, or maybe the lowest quality. And Reus is an amazing card, no knock on him. Like, that's a great SBC for anyone that could do it. But I feel like there wasn't a whole lot else that came out. So that kind of makes sense to me as an option.
I think it's just because we don't care as much. So certainly one of the problems is some of the lowest rated players are all Bundesliga players both weeks. So Gunther and Hwang Hee-chan, I might've said that correctly for once. They are the two lowest rated in their squads, but there were also two more. So you're forgetting Leroy Sané.
Oh God. Yeah. From Team One. Yes. He's one of the best.
And then Emre Can also has one, and he's Hulik gang, looks pretty cracked, but I think given our current squads, neither of us have really given him a ton of thought just because we wouldn't fit him in other than a super sub. And at 300K on Xbox, I'm not spending that to go get someone who can probably not better than a bunch of free center mids that you guys have all gotten through objectives or SBCs throughout the year.
Yep, totally fair point. And thank you for correcting. Apologies for all of you running Bundesliga squads. I don't know how I could overlook those cards, but I would still say I wish they would have given you something better. I feel like there's a lot of other elite cards from these other leagues, and I feel like just having the Leroy Sané, there's kind of a huge gap between the highest top end and then kind of the lower end card. So I wish there would be a little more. Or maybe what I want is just more promos where they keep getting to roll out this type of content, because it's really exciting and adds a lot of squad building opportunities for everyone in the foot community. And I hope there's something coming after foot birthday, because this was great and really exciting.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. So we mentioned tomorrow's SBC. Is there anything else this week that you're excited about? Or obviously we record usually on Sundays. Do you think we're getting a new promo? What do you think is going to happen over the next week of foot?
I wouldn't be surprised if they went back and took another week off. I think that's where I would expect is a little bit of a break. And then they probably come out with something new and unexpected but maybe not quite as juiced on the power curve, but just because there's some kind of unique twist, it might get people to spend some FIFA point money. So that would just be my hypothesis and what I think might happen. But EA have certainly proven that they're not afraid to run back-to-back promos, so I wouldn't be totally shocked if on Friday we just saw them roll right into something else straight away. How about you?
I agree with all of that once again. I kind of think this is probably going to be an icon week. I think it's been a little bit of time since we've gotten a new player icon SBC. It's been even longer since we got a repeatable or single shot icon SBC. I would not be surprised if this week we got a prime slash moments icon player pick, and it could be priced to the moon, and I think people are going to do it. So that's where I'm thinking, is we're going to have a relatively icon heavy week. And then I agree with you, maybe 2 weeks from now, something along the lines of Shapeshifters or Carnival, some type of new promo they haven't really done. They obviously just made up What If on the fly, and I think they didn't really even understand what they were doing with that one. So who knows what we're going to get in either next Friday or two Fridays from now.
Yep. And one other thing that I did, I put out a poll on Twitter, and I thought it would just be nice to briefly touch on it for this conversation. We had 52 responders that responded to the question of, in FIFA 21, what was the coin value of the most expensive tradable player that you packed? And I put together these band ranges based on my experience of what I thought was appropriate of greater than 5 million, between 1 and 5 million coins, between 500K and 1 million coins, and under 500K. And of the 52 votes, only one was for over 5 million. That was me.
Who was that person? Yeah, who was that person, Tyler?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was such a unique experience. So maybe I should have changed the band a little bit to try to have this be a more useful poll. But, you know, I just thought everyone was out there packing moment hullets and whatnot to add to their squads. But what I did think, what I wanted to like really highlight from this, we had about 40% of people that were in that 1 to 5 million, which I think if you get that kind of coin injection to your team, you're probably very likely to be able, with the accumulation of that value plus the rewards that you earn over the course of the year, to put together a very strong competitive team. But for folks that are in, there's 21% that are in the 500K to 1 million, or another 36% that are under 500K. For those folks specifically, one of the things I really wanted to touch on is, prior to me packing that 9 million coin card of the Team of the Year CR7 that I promptly sold, I actually was playing better FIFA than I am now. Sure, I get to change up my squad and have fun that way, but in no way does it lead to me winning more games and being a much better FIFA player. So I really just want to like make sure that folks that are in kind of that bottom tier, they don't feel like they're way behind the curve, they're losing because their teams aren't good enough. Like, I just don't believe that that's really true. And I just don't want you guys to be spending money on FIFA points to try to make your squad better so that you can catch up with the curve. It's totally not necessary, and you'd be far better off spending that money and time trying to get lessons or get coaching or just watch YouTube tutorials and go into skill games and practice things to actually get better at the fundamentals, because just adding a Team of the Year quality player to your squad isn't going to make the difference of taking you from Gold 3 to Elite 3. Like, it just doesn't work that way. You may get a win or two here or there, but because of skill-based matchmaking, it just isn't a huge overall influence on the experience. So please don't feel bad, but apologies for making a poll that basically only I'm at the top. So we'll have to try to figure out a better way to do that in the future.
There are only 14 players in the game currently on Xbox who are worth more than 5 million.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a little bit of editing that may go into the next poll. Maybe I'll run it by Andrew before I put it out.
So one thing I think about this, I have several thoughts on this. The first thing is, you made it so that it was tradable. And I think a lot of where folks are getting their most valuable cards, me included, is untradable cards. So I am in the under 500K band for tradable players. I packed a 91 Neymar this week, which I will get into in about 60 seconds. But that's the most expensive card I'd packed. I don't think I'd packed a card over 100K until then. Obviously, I'm someone who heavily values trading and making coins that way. So I agree with you completely. It is not a problem to not pack incredibly expensive players, to not have to dump FIFA points into the game. Please, you know, please don't spend like money that you don't have. If you're wealthy, or, you know, you're like us and you're older, so you have some disposable income and you want to spend some money on FIFA points, by all means do it. You know, it certainly, don't spend thousands of dollars. I think everyone agrees it's a waste, but yeah, you know, it's certainly something we do for time, and the time value of money out of how many hours we spend on this game. Hell, how many hours we spend recording podcasts. You'd be getting at least a little bit of decent return out of it, but it's ultimately just spending money on entertainment. But I kind of started with untradeable players. Obviously, you have all these upgrade picks. I've now packed 3 players worth more than 1 million coins: Henri, Adama, and Neymar. All untradeable. So I think that's probably where a lot of people are getting their best value. Of course, with these icon swaps, there's a lot of good chances to pack elite cards like that.
I think that's totally fair. And yeah, I'll definitely, I think it makes sense for our next poll to try to factor in the value of people's most expensive untradeable card. I think that would still be interesting to learn.
Agreed. I think that should be what we come out with next week. I mentioned Neymar, and I did want to point one thing out. This is really for Xbox folks. Is I pack Neymar through a jumbo rare players pack that I use FIFA points to purchase, but I didn't spend any of my own coins on it. And that's through these Xbox rewards, where you can get it. And if you don't check your Xbox rewards app occasionally, you might be missing out on, you know, $10 every month or two. And so that's what I've done. And I had $20 saved up in my balance, my auto balance of redeeming. And so I just went ahead and redeemed, and I got a Neymar, and I also got a Salah, and I was very happy about that. But just minor tip, Xbox users, check your Xbox rewards. It's definitely worth it.
That's an awesome tip. And also congrats. That's a nice little coin injection into your club. So super exciting.
Yep. I was definitely happy about that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, is there anything else that you want to talk about for the week?
There is one last thing I wanted to talk about before we adjourn for the week. And that's something I've experienced kind of my whole FIFA career and before Ultimate Team, really just in general. I'm kind of calling it streakiness. I'll go on these runs all the way back from when I was playing online seasons, where I'll win 10, 12 matches in a row, and then I will also lose 6, 8, 12 matches in a row. First thought is, do you experience that? And then more importantly, because I do think everyone goes on at least mini streaks, maybe not this aggressive or extreme, but if you get on a, let's say, 3 loss in a row streak, what do you do? How do you handle it? You know, I've got some thoughts about maybe why it's happening to me, but I'm kind of just interested in general of what your thoughts are.
Yeah, very interesting question. As it relates to streaks, I certainly tend to have streaks that are at most in the 3 to 4 game type of realm. I don't think I ever really go to a 5 to 10 game streak. Certainly not. No, not even winning or losing. It just doesn't really happen in the competitive play that I'll do through Rivals or Weekend League. And I know this as I use the FootTrack app, which was started by Ben from the Foot Weekly podcast. And I believe his name is Hickers, another guy who's part of that Discord community. I'm sure most of you out there have listened to the Foot Weekly podcast. It's excellent, and you should continue to do so. I do every week, and would strongly recommend you do as well. But they developed this app, the FootTrack app, and you use it during Weekend League. You can also use it during Rivals, but I don't do that. And it's very easy to track your stats. You can enter in the goals and assists that your players score. You can take a picture to capture all of the in-game stats from the end of the match, and then keep track over the course of the weekend and very nicely graphically see how your performance is overall. And it even has a nice chart that basically shows what your streaks are as you win and lose, moving the indicator up and down for wins and losses. And I never really win, other than maybe the first five or six games, do I win more than four games in a row. Kind of once I get past that first slog of five games, things are much more regular for me, where it's win two games, lose a game, win two games, lose a game. You know, certainly we'll lose two games in a row on occasion. And I think the primary thing is what goes through my head is whether I'm experiencing a win streak or a lose streak. I always, no matter what is taking place within my game, have this routine where I basically have a pre-match routine of stretching, taking deep breaths, and then I've created this checklist of basically key things to remember before I head into any game that I play, so that I can really maintain my mental focus and really bring myself to the present moment of what do I want this gaming experience to be. And I've been on a pursuit for how to do this for the past several months, and I had really gotten to this place where I recognized I was getting very upset in weekend league matches when my opponent would watch their or do their celebrations after they scored their goal. And I realized that was really triggering me. And I was like, what do I need to do to keep that from making me so upset over time? And so I recalled this book that I read by Dr. Atul Gawande. It's called The Checklist Manifesto. And that book, it's a pretty long book, but it's very interesting. But it's all about how he was doing research on how to reduce incidents in hospitals where mistakes were made that led to, you know, lawsuits and death and all kinds of unnecessary things that were all preventable. It's like, how do I reduce the preventable issues from happening in hospitals? And it was things like making sure that surgeons wash their hands before they enter into surgery. Or if someone's getting a leg amputated, you make sure that you amputate the right leg by, you know, writing on marker, like amputate this leg. And they basically created, the solution was that they needed to create a checklist that doctors and nurses equally reviewed as a team. And just doing that together of reviewing the same 10 things before any surgery took place significantly reduced overall issues within hospital systems. And I was thinking about this and like, I actually think this could really help translate to my experience in playing competitive FIFA. And so I actually wrote down a list of items in my phone in the notes app of a checklist of things that I want to go through before each match. And so that's part of my pre-match routine. And so number one on that list is don't get upset if your opponent celebrates their goals. It's a part of the game. It happens in real life. Real players celebrate every time they score. And it's hard to score a goal in this FIFA in particular. And it's okay for someone to actually celebrate that. And then number two on my list is drink water. So it's like, that actually gives me something to do after my opponent celebrates their goal, is like, okay, now I'm active and I'm doing something that's like for my benefit while that is actually happening. And there's a bunch of other things about breathing, making sure that you're enjoying this, like you're playing this game for fun, stay positive. And I would just encourage you to think about what are the items that should be on your list that are relevant to your experience. Like, what do you think would be helpful to you? And I think just spending the time to think about it and write it down, but then also actually try and implement consulting it, would be something that you'd find useful to maybe reduce the experience that you have in streaks. Certainly if you're on a win streak, you want to continue that. But if you find yourself on a losing streak and you're getting frustrated or upset, I think this could be a potential tool that you might find useful and be helpful for you.
Yeah, thank you, Tyler. I think this is great advice. I'm really excited to do this going forward because I think it is going to help me a lot. Really, a lot of the things you listed are the things I also need to do. I sometimes have them, and probably it coincides with some of my good streaks of things like drinking water, being calm, not giving a fuck if someone celebrates. Those type of things I think are helpful to me, probably helpful to everyone, right? Like not getting worked up over this game. One thing I do struggle with, maybe we all struggle with it a bit, is I only have a limited window I can play FIFA. So for me, you know, I'm working all day, have two kids, have a wife. So I only have maybe at most 2-3 hours at the best to play FIFA. So if I'm having a bad experience, oftentimes it stinks because I don't want to, I think I know the answer is to walk away and just turn off the game and go do something else. But it's also like mentally, I have allocated time to go play this game that I love. Clearly, I love it. We are doing a podcast about it. I love this game. I love soccer in general. I want to be playing the only option for a simulation game of soccer. And I struggle. I need to get better. And I'm going to maybe use this podcast to hold myself accountable a little bit there of getting better at just walking away. If one thing that maybe is a struggle for me more than other people, maybe it's not, maybe I get more worked up about it, but I have really bad connection issues sometimes. It is incredibly inconsistent. I've heard it might be an Xbox thing as opposed to the PS4 in the US seems to be a better connection, I guess, for lack of a better word, just more consistent gameplay. So that could be part of it. But just in general, I get crazy one-sided delay sometimes where my opponent is doing all kinds of skill moves on me and Neymar can't do a ball roll. And I should just walk away in those times, right? I mean, if I'm doing an objective and can just go away from keyboard, that's the best. I think that's partly why I'm leaning towards a lot of these friendlies, is because I will still get these bad, you know, bad gameplay. And who cares? Right? I'm just trying to crank out 18 games played with Irish players or whatever the objective is. So who cares if I lose this one game and then end up walking away? So for me personally, I want you to hold me accountable. Listeners, hold me accountable. I need to just start walking away more. And we're not professionals. We're not even semi-pros. We are dead middle average, maybe above average. But for people who listen to FIFA podcasts, probably right in the middle of average FIFA players. And so I need to not care as much. I think that's the takeaway for me.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a strong option. And I'll say this only in case it's helpful and you find yourself continuing on playing. One of the mentality things that helps me as I think about those types of experiences where I'm feeling frustrated, where the game didn't register or didn't feel like it registered some of the inputs that I put in or what have you, is I think of Tony Robbins, who's a self-help type guru, has this saying that's turn your expectations into appreciations. And I find that really helpful as it relates to not just FIFA really, but your everything in life, as it creates a more positive mindset as you try to think about how you approach things. And so when you think like, what is an expectation as it relates to FIFA? Well, I have an expectation that I won't have delay. The game will register the inputs that I put in. My opponent won't play one depth drop back. That if I spent all of my fodder on Moment Schmeichel, that he'll actually be good in game. Like, we have all kinds of expectations around how the game will behave. And what that ultimately leads to is frustration and disappointment when those expectations aren't met. And the option that Tony's suggesting by turn your expectations into appreciations is instead focus on within the same environment, what are the things that you appreciate about it? And so if you're sitting down for your 2 hours of free time over your course of your weekend where you really wanted to play some FIFA, I think trying to frame it in, wow, I really appreciate that I'm lucky enough in my life to have 2 hours of free time this weekend to spend time playing a video game. I really appreciate that. Just starting there with like, hey, I'm coming from this place of positivity and appreciation can ultimately lead to a lot more satisfaction and happiness as you go through that experience. And you can try to go deeper and turn it into things within game. Like, oh, I appreciate that this game is complex and I can focus on squad building and I can try new players, or I can try to learn a new skill move and implement into my gameplay and make it more fun. That's another way to add appreciation into the game, which I think is useful. But I do think there are probably going to be times where you find yourself like, okay, I've just played 2 or 3 games in a row. It was super delayed. I'm trying to complete an objective and this just isn't fun, like the people that I'm playing are toxic, definitely just stop. Like, if like you should get out of that mode and not keep putting yourself through the same experience if it's leading to just anger and frustration. Now, you may still want to play FIFA and go try squad battles or go play a different objective or actually jump back in and try a game of Rivals or start a career mode team. Like, there are other options that exist. So I would kind of encourage you to evaluate all of them, but certainly don't be afraid to walk away if you feel like you're just getting upset and those other tools aren't helping you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate all of that. I think that is right. I think, well, for me, I do need to walk away. When I walk away, I need to walk away and not try to come back to Rivals, because just why I get on streaks is I'll try to come back and then lose some more. But to end this on a high note is I want to mention a positive streak. And one of the things I've thought about, and occasionally when playing Weekend League or something, think about when I'm on a good streak to just keep playing. And last year I got on maybe the best streak given context that I've ever gotten on. It was during Premier League Team of the Season. They had just come out, so we all knew that's what we were playing for, the guaranteed players. I remember I was running Jamie Vardy as my striker, who I just picked up. I think I started out Weekend League not great, like 4-5, 3-5, 4-6, somewhere maybe 4-4, something just subpar. I went on such a crazy ass run of wins. I was first just going to stop at, I think, 11 wins, get one guaranteed player. Maybe it'd be in the right league. Maybe it wouldn't. But I just kept winning. And then I was talking to you and Richard on Twitter, and it was still relatively early. I think I had maybe 3 hours left before Weekend League ended. And so I just kept playing, and I really was kind of thinking, oh, I'm just going to play until I lose, I guess, or try to grind out. Just kept winning. And some of these games were dominant. I don't know what I was doing. I don't think I was doing anything special. It was just one of those magical clicked in moments. And then we started talking. It was like, well, you get an unlock guaranteed Premier League players if you get to, what was it, 17 wins maybe?
Yeah, 17. That's right.
So I got there and I was like, well, there's still like another hour to go, or however long there was. So I was like, I guess I'm just gonna keep playing. I was like, why stop now? Fuck it. And I just kept winning. And I literally didn't lose until I ran out of time. I ended 3 o'clock Eastern, and I think I ended on 19 wins and just couldn't get in the match for the 20th. I was like, oh man. So that is the most fun FIFA experience I've ever had. And to me, hopefully you guys hear it in my voice, that's why I play FIFA, is for those type of runs, for that type of fun game experience. It's why I play video games still in my mid-30s, because I have fun doing things like that. So, you know, when you're on a good thing, don't, I guess my takeaway on that, I'm not the most self-help advice person. Tyler is much more tuned into that type of stuff and will give much better advice than I ever will. But my advice on some of that is just, you know, if you're having fun, keep doing it.
Absolutely. And remind everyone how that might turn out to be worth it within the red picks that you are awarded from the Premier League players for achieving that 17 win threshold.
I think before this year, that turned out to be the best player I'd ever packed, because I ended up with a red Aubameyang, who, if you guys remember, he wasn't as popular as people. For some reason, he wasn't super popular, but I think he was the best striker maybe in the game last year. So Pierre-Emile Aubameyang, Mr. Arsenal, caused me to go full Premier League team. So yeah, that's the type of reward you get. So I know we're getting up to Team of the Season soon. I plan to do the same thing, play Weekend League again to try to get these packs, because it's when, personally, it's when I think the red picks make the grind of Weekend League worth it.
Well, Andrew, I can't wait to hear how your Team of the Season Weekend League grind goes, but I have no doubt you'll return to glory. And, you know, let's see you break 20 wins. I think you can do it.
Well, I'm not sure I'll have time to play 20 games in any weekend, but we'll see. Anything else you want to cover this week, Tyler?
I think that pretty much covers it. It's been a really exciting FUT birthday experience, and you know, really kudos to EA, but really just looking forward to what they bring on next. How about you? Anything else?
No, that's it for me. I hope everyone has a good week. I'm looking forward to playing some more friendlies tonight. And yeah, I think that will do it.